Another development took place about this time was Peter Elias's invention of convolutional coding. And this led to Jack Wozencraft's development of sequential decoding. Now, actually, Jack did this. He was motivated by Elias and was a doctoral student of Elias at MIT at that time. And I put two dates down here for that. The reason is this is the date of the dissertation. And so that's sort of the date when all this became available within the MIT and Lincoln Lab community and people were working on it. This is the date when the MIT Press book by Wozencraft and Rifen was published that gave a description of sequential decoding, let's say, for the outside world, so that everybody then knew about it. But this was a technique that did something that people had not really thought much about before that time. It did soft decision decoding. You didn't have to have a binary symmetric channel, the channel output being only a hard decision 0 or a 1 for each binary digit you send. You could use soft decisions, in other words, have reliability information attached to each output of the channel. The channel output you should really think of as the output of the demodulator. You have the channel is, I always think of it as the modulator, the waveform channel, and the demodulator. And at the output of the demodulator, you get these, if it's a binary code, you get these binary digits with reliability numbers attached to them. And sequential decoding could utilize those, but as Wozencraft found that the problem with sequential decoding is that you were limited computationally away from channel capacity, that there was a new number, I called it here R0, the cutoff rate of the channel, which was the rate at which the average number of decoding computations per bit became infinite. And it seemed like you can't use codes that go above that. Turns out that's not really true, like most things in coding theory, because what this meant was that if you were plotting in a log-log scale here, n, and the probability that the computation is more than n, okay, then you as n gets large, the computation with sequential decoder is a straight line like that. Virtually, that's the Pareto distribution. This is in a log plot. And the average computation will be infinite if this line has slope less than minus 1. So the way I drew it here, that would be infinite computation. If this is the minus 1 line, then that's the point, the boundary between finite number of computations or infinite number. So if you're here, this would be an infinite average number of computations. This would be a finite number. But in fact, you couldn't tell the difference between those two in practice. If you were implementing the code, you wouldn't know the difference. It's true, if you continued to decode away forever, the computation would be infinite, but nobody ever does that with sequential decoding. They always set some kind of a limit. They say, well, we'll decode up to 1,000 computations per bit, and if we haven't succeeded, we'll declare the frame erased and go on to the next one. So you're really, there's always some, in practice, there's always some limit like this here. And so you wouldn't know the difference between these two. But still, this R0, or this computational cutoff rate, is a pretty good measure of about where it gets very hard to calculate. So, but it's not a hard and fast measure. It's not like channel capacity. It's a rule of thumb, even for sequential decoding. And that isn't always realized. Some people think, oh, R0 only has interest for sequential decoding because there is a fundamental limit. No, it's not. It's nowhere a fundamental limit, but it's very often a good index rule of thumb for where you can operate practically.